You are listening to Pacific Beer Chat. We are a collective of West Coast beer bloggers sharing our opinions on events, issues, and well-crafted brews. We discuss both local and international issues and aim to educate and entertain. We are a part of the Hopped Up Network.
Breweries come in all shapes and sizes. In this episode, we sit down with Redbird Brewing, possibly the brewery with the smallest brew system in the province. This nano brewery can be found in the Okanagan city of Kelowna in a new craft beer hub in the making. We hope you enjoy this episode.
I'm here at Redbird Brewing in Kelowna. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Sure. My name is Adam Semenuk. I'm the owner-operator of Redbird Brewing. We've been operating for about 5 months now.
All right. Most people have a beer or a brewery that kind of sparked their interest in craft beer. Do you have one?
You know what? It was kind of a moment, actually. I think it was, you know, it was 10, 11 years ago kind of thing. I was at my uncle's house in Edmonton. He served me a beer. He served it out of one of those pop-top Grolsch bottles. Yep. And I just remember really liking the beer, being impressed. There wasn't too much craft beer in my life back then. And I remember telling him, you know, I really like this beer. What, I've never seen it before. What was it? And he said, well, it's my beer. And I said, what do you mean it's your beer? He said, well, I made it. And it blew my mind. I was like, how do you can make beer? Like, how do you do that? Yeah. He showed me his little home brewing operation in the basement, and it's actually really good. He had really good temperature control, really good sanitation and everything. So his beers always came out really clean. So it wasn't long after that I started home brewing at home. It was a lot of fun, but very difficult as it's just in a little two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of room for error there. and I guess I'd say that's what sparked my interest, was just getting into the homebrew scene.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I guess, what kind of brought you from getting into the homebrew scene and stuff to opening your own brewery? It's a big step.
Yeah, it was a big step. For me, really, it was seeing what was going on in Vancouver. So maybe 4 or 5 years ago, as that scene was really starting to emerge, and there's a lot of good beer coming out of Vancouver, started to make its way into the Okanagan a little bit. Myself and my friends really started appreciating beer more and more and having tasting nights and everything. I didn't really keep up with the homebrewing as much as I wanted to because I didn't have a space for it. So I always wanted that space. I always wanted proper equipment and could never really have it. And about seven years of my last job, I just decided I wanted a change. I wanted to work for myself. Spent a lot of time figuring out, well, what could that be? What am I passionate about? And I just remember a friend of mine asked me, he's like, why aren't you doing the brewery? And it hit me like a bag of bricks. I was like, I have no good answer as to why I'm not doing that. And I just said, screw it. Sold pretty much everything to my name to come up with as much money as possible. And just went for it, really.
Sounds like a pretty typical story.
Yeah.
Sell everything.
Yeah. Sell everything. Just work as hard as you can for as long as you can. Yeah.
Definitely. So are you from Kelowna originally?
I'm from Vernon, which is not too far away. Like most good Canadians, I've done my time in Vancouver and Toronto and some of the bigger cities, and I enjoyed them, but kind of found myself back to Kelowna randomly through that last job.
Yeah.
And definitely fell in love with the place. It's such an amazing, beautiful place to live. Really good community. And actually, from a business standpoint, that's another reason why I decided to start a brewery here, is there wasn't too many breweries popping up.
Yeah.
You know, Tree has been around for a long time doing great things. Then B&A opened up, and then as I was in the middle of my project, Kettle River opened up around the corner, and it started to show signs of, you know, a really cool beer scene starting to happen here. So I was really happy with the timing of how everything worked out.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, this area of, I guess it's considered downtown, isn't it, sort of?
Yeah, I mean, we're a block off of downtown.
Yeah. This area downtown really kind of seems to be the hub of craft beer in Kelowna now. What was it that drove you to open here? Because it wasn't that yet.
No, originally I was going to open right in the middle of downtown, just a block away from B&A, right in the library parkade. There's like a new tech center there. There's a bunch of high-rise condos. So it felt like a really good spot. Originally, the plan was, you know, like a $2 million brewery. I had investors lined up and banks and all this stuff. And the project, to be honest, was just getting a little bit crazy, almost like more than I could handle.
Yeah.
And I was poised to lose a lot of money if it didn't work out. I was on the hook.
Yeah.
And it was hard to say if it was going to work or wasn't. And the spot I had picked out was like $7,500 a month rent. Just rent. So it was
pretty high.
It was crazy. So I called the project off. I told all the investors and everybody. I said, you know what? I'm going to go smaller scale. I'm just going to start myself, which is obviously it's got all sorts of challenges, but made it a lot easier from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, definitely.
And I remember talking to some of my consultants, good friends at CellarTech. At the time, I was dealing with them for equipment because it was a larger scale operation. Yeah. I told them what I wanted to do, and actually it was my friend, who's also now my landlord, he pointed at this building because it's across the street, and he said, I own that building. He's like, I think you should rent in there. So we took a look, and I was like, man, it's the perfect size. It's in this great area. It's across the street from Tree Brewing. It's around the corner from Kettle River. Just, you know, 2 blocks from B&A, so it felt like this is a perfect fit.
Definitely.
There's wineries all over the place here. There's Urban Distillery just down the street. So it started, feels like it is turning into kind of an alcohol district, a beer district. And then coincidentally, there's another brewery opening up down the street. I'm not sure if you've, I think I've mentioned that to you.
Yeah. Before.
Yeah.
So that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, so the area just kind of, it was just kind of serendipitous how it worked out. But I'm really happy with it because also my rent here is like almost 10 times cheaper than what I was looking at.
That's awesome.
And, you know, being downtown would have been a little bit more of a touristy thing anyways. Whereas in this area, I'm getting a lot of locals and a lot of craft beer lovers.
Definitely, yeah. There's lots of businesses right around here that are year-round.
Yeah, absolutely.
Names can be so important for businesses. Is there a story behind Redbird Brewing?
There is, yeah. You know, in my mind, starting a brewery, step one was coming up with a name. I think most people would probably consider that true. Yeah,
that's not easy either.
No, and for me, I really wanted it to have meaning. I didn't want to just, you know, pull something out of a hat and call it whatever and just work on marketing from there. So yeah. I wanted to have meaning and be historic to Kelowna. So I went down to the museum. I read literally everything I could in the whole museum, checked everything out. There was a lot of, like, bear traps and bear hunters and grizzly, you know, all this kind of stuff. But nothing really felt that meaningful to me, except for two things that I found out when I was there. One, I didn't realize, and I think a lot of people didn't realize, that Kelowna was only accessible by water for a long time.
Okay.
There was no roads here. So you had to get to Vernon or Penticton, and then you had to take a boat. And actually, one of the beers is named after, like, the Captain Kolsch.
Yeah.
It's named after the first guy to take anybody by boat from Vernon all the way to Penticton or Kelowna.
Oh, nice.
Everybody called him the Captain, so that's why we named that beer after him. Anyway, so I thought that was really cool. And then I saw this photo, and it's up on the wall there. You've probably seen it, of this Redbird of Kelowna boat. I just thought the photo was really nice. I was just like, man, that's a cool photo. That's a nice name, Redbird. It seems easy to remember, good logo opportunity. It wasn't taken, you know.
Yeah.
I could get the URL. And then as I looked into it more, I found out that it was an old race boat that was brought up from the States for one of the early regattas. And the regatta was an event that brings all of the Okanagan together for water events and water sports and all sorts of stuff like that, competitions. Yeah, that connection to the lake, that driving community together, because that's what I'm really trying to do here is create a space for people to come together, have great conversation. That's why there's no TVs here. That's why we don't play the music very loud. That's why we put sound dampeners on the ceiling. Everything to facilitate people coming together and connecting.
Definitely, yeah. It should be a community hub.
Exactly.
It doesn't need to be a sports pub. There's enough of those out there already.
Yeah. Actually, the thing I like the most, and the tables are a big part of that. It's like, that's why we do the
long tables.
Long community tables. It's really easy to talk to a stranger if they're sitting right beside you.
Yep.
Whereas if you're at a different table, you'd never really go approach somebody to strike up a conversation.
Not usually, yeah.
So one of my favorite things is actually seeing people come here that have never met, and they end up actually, like, exchanging numbers or hanging out or becoming friends. And it's happened quite often. I'd say on a weekly basis, there's people that are now friends because they bumped into each other here.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, really, that's kind of the coolest thing.
Yeah, you don't see that every day outside of craft beer.
Yeah, not too much, yeah.
Let's talk about the brew system you've got here. It's probably the smallest brew system I've ever seen.
yep.
Can you give us a little bit of a background on it?
Well, it's Tippy Dump. It's called the Tippy Dump system. It's made by Brewbuilt. It gets its name, I assume, from the fact that the mash tun is actually on a hinge system, and you can tip it over so you can dump all your spent grains.
That makes it easier.
Makes for easy cleanup, right? Like, you're not scooping everything out. For the space that I have, it's the biggest that I could go.
Yeah.
It's got some really nice burners on it, so it can heat up your hot liquor tank and your mash tun really quick, and your kettle. So each burner, there's three burners, it's 90,000 BTUs per burner.
Damn.
Three-vessel system. It's been great. I'm still, to be honest, I'm still dialing it in, like, still figuring it out, but it's coming along. It's coming along really well. Yeah, it's really just we bought it because easy to clean up. It's compact. I can do double batches on it real quick. So it does 75 liters, but I can do double brews and kick out 150 liters. So awesome. All my tanks are 150 liters. Yeah, I'm not sure what else to say. It's a great little system. It's kind of like a home brewer's dream system.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great pilot system.
Definitely.
That I use as basically my production system.
How many fermenters do you have?
I have 3 fermentation tanks and 6 conditioning tanks.
Okay.
So I can pump out 3 solid batches a week, get those into the conditioning tanks, and keep on pumping out 3 batches. I haven't hit that kind of capacity yet. To be honest, it's just been my time. I'm still the only person here.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping as we get into spring and sales pick up and I can start to afford to hire more people, that I can get into a really good rhythm. And actually, I've had a lot of homebrewers come out and ask me if they can come brew, and my response has always been absolutely. If anybody wants to come here and help brew and just have a good time and mess around with recipes, I'm all for it.
Definitely, yeah.
So it's going really well. I'm excited for it to get into a better rhythm. And then I'm sure you're aware, we also contract some batches with factory brewing. That's how, people are always like, how do you get your stuff canned? I'm like, there's no way we could brew enough here to can it. So we send our recipes to factory, they scale it up, brew it, can it, and send it back. So it's a great way for small breweries to be able to scale up their operation without investing $400,000, in brewing.
And that's on the low side.
Yeah, exactly. Where I put this whole project together for well under that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I guess with the cans out there, how far is distribution for the cans?
Right now, I guess I could say the Okanagan. I do have one store in Winfield carrying my beer. I think I'm in about 7 or 8 stores right now, mostly in Kelowna. And I have some beer reps in Vancouver. They were waiting till the new year to start pushing the sales and everything. Yeah. So in the next couple of weeks, hopefully I'll start to get into some Vancouver stores.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. So, when we get a batch of cans produced at factory, then I'll ship. What I have been doing is shipping half of them here and then keeping half of them in cold storage in Vancouver.
Yeah.
So that when those reps start pushing the sales to Vancouver, we can just send them straight out from that cold storage facility.
You've got 4 beers on tap right now. Is that your core lineup? Or?
Right now, it definitely is. Our IPA is, our IPA and our Kolsch are definitely our signature beers. They were the first ones that we put through as contract batches to get them in cans and get that nice branding around them. They've definitely both been the most popular. The stout is pretty recent. I don't know if I'll keep it on in the summer. I don't know how many people are drinking stouts in the summer, so definitely more of a seasonal thing. But yeah, the Kolsch and the IPA have been selling really well. We'll keep those on. Plan on doing a Saison in the spring.
Oh, nice.
So, this is still my first year, so we're just trying to see what's sticking and what's not. But so far, the IPA and the Kolsch have been killer. People who like IPA have been drinking it like crazy, and then people who just aren't sure what they like. Kolsch seems to appeal to everybody.
That's awesome.
All demographics, men and women, it seems to be doing really well in that regard. And then I do have a lager right now. It's kind of a funny timing, but it was one of the most common popular questions people were asking. Anybody, to be honest, in a little bit of an older demographic, they were asking, do you have a lager? And my answer was always the Kolsch. But by putting the lager on, I've been able to serve that community, and it's been pretty popular.
You've got your 4 beer on tap, but you also have a bunch of guest taps. How do you choose those?
To be honest, for the most part, it's just beer that I like from breweries that I like. Sometimes random reps will show up and let's drop off some samples, and I'll try them all and just think, okay, well, we don't have something like that. We don't have a sweeter beer. We don't have a darker beer. We don't have something that's just going to round out the menu a little bit. When I first opened the doors, I couldn't actually get my brew house running for the first little while because the gas inspector wouldn't sign off on it. Oh, so here's something about the brew house I forgot to mention. If you're ever wanting to start your own brewery, just heed this advice. So I bought it in the States, brought it up, and all of the pieces that make it up are all CSA certified or ULC certified, but as a whole, the unit isn't certified. Because in the States, there's no gas fitters down there. There's no ticketed.
Yeah.
It's not a trade or something. Like they don't have they don't care about gas certification.
That sounds safe.
Yeah. So apparently at home you can do your own gas fitting and nobody seems to care. Whereas in Canada, obviously we have that's a ticketed thing.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So my gas inspector, my gas fitter, he's like, I can't plumb this up. I wouldn't be insured because the unit isn't certified. So we had to, and meanwhile, the time's ticking and I'm paying rent.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to get my doors open. So we had to cut off all the gas valves, replace all the gas valves, submit a design, a new design, to the BC Gas Authority, get my electrician to come up with an electrical design and submit that as well. Then get that to go to, I think it went to Victoria, you wait, they sign off, then a gas inspector comes and looks and gives you your sticker. That whole thing took a long time. Meanwhile, on all those gas valves and the labor, it cost me an extra $5,000. So I bought the thing for about $9,000 or so, and then I had to spend another $5,000 to make it certified for Canada.
That's so ridiculous.
And then, of course, the months and months lost of, you know, lost brewing time. So when I opened my doors, it was actually a friend of mine. I was like, man, I'm not going to be able to open. Like, what am I going to do? And he said, just serve other people's beer for the first little while. I was like, oh, you're a genius. So I talked to the liquor inspector, and I'm like, you know, it's a lounge. I have a lounge endorsement, not a full lounge, so I'm limited as to how much of other people's products I can serve.
Yeah.
And I asked them, I said, like, I'm in a tight spot here. Can I open and just serve other people's beer? I know that's in violation. And he was really great.
Yeah.
Oh, he saved my ass. He was like, go ahead, get your doors open, serve beer. He's like, just get your beer on tap as soon as you can, which we did.
Yeah.
And we're now at the point that, like, probably 90% of my sales are house beer.
Yeah.
So I'm now in the clear because it's supposed to be 80-20. But that really saved my butt. And when we started, I had Four Winds, Steamworks, Postmark, Lighthouse. We had all sorts of great guys on tap.
That's
everybody,
awesome.
You know, a lot of people were like, Four Winds, for example, when I asked them if I could buy their beer, they're like, you know, to be honest, we don't have enough beer to go around right now. Like, we're running low. But the guys there were so great. They're like, we know that you're starting up and you're in a tight spot, so we'll totally send you some beer.
That's
so
awesome.
Even though they didn't really have capacity, they did it anyways because they were just awesome guys and they could see that I was just a little place trying to get going.
Yeah.
So it's been amazing. Everybody in the craft beer scene has been really cool. Like Dave Gokiert, who's the brewmaster at Tree.
Yep.
I feel like I'm constantly bugging him for like tips and advice, and I'm like, hey, I got this stuck fermentation. What's going on with this yeast? Or can I borrow some yeast? And they've been more than amazing.
That's
helping
awesome.
Out.
That's what you want in a community, right?
Yeah. Kyle from B&A, you know, B&A opened up across the street from my house 2 years ago. And so I remember when I walked in there, I was blown away. I was like, this place is so cool. I've always wanted my own brewery. And a friend of mine was friends with Kyle, so he introduced me. I told Kyle, this is amazing. I've always wanted to do this. He's like, hey, if you ever do, just let me know and I'll help you through the process. So he was a good support as well throughout everything.
That's awesome to have that because most industries, your competitor is not helping you at all,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And Kyle's always said it, you know, everybody, you know, knows that phrase, you know, a rising tide raises all boats.
Definitely.
Or lifts all boats. And so he's always felt that way. He's always felt strongly about that. And he's always been a support of everybody. So yeah, everybody's been amazing. It's been incredible.
That's awesome, yeah. Everyone's just trying to help sink the Armada.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's not us against us. It's us against them, which is, you know, big corporate big corporate beer. But even then, it doesn't even feel that way because there's the people that's going to drink that beer and there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
And then there's the people that are going to go down to your local microbrewery and drink that beer. So I know some people feel like, oh, it's a war of craft beer versus big beer. And I'm like, I don't feel it. I'm just trying to serve good beer and create a good community and...
It's more a war from the big guys.
Yeah.
They go, shit, we lost 1% this year. We better kill some small
we
guys.
We better snap up some guys, yeah. Yeah, whereas I, you know, especially places my size and other breweries my size, I'm sure they feel the same way. They're like, I'm not even a drop in the bucket in anybody's radar. I'm just trying to do my own little thing here.
Oh, definitely, yeah. They don't even know what your volume is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If they heard the size of my brew house, I think they wouldn't be, you know, worried.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Do you have much planned for other than Saison? Do you have any other plans really for some seasonals that are kind of filtering through?
Yeah, maybe Hefeweizen, maybe a Wit. You know, those ones are fun to play around with and you can knock them out really quick so you can get a lot of variation.
Definitely. Great for the summer here too because
exactly.
It's going to be hot as hell.
Yeah, and what I'm noticing in beer sales, like honestly, beer sales are more than double in the summer. I only caught the tail end of summer and it's more than double of what I'm seeing in the winter. So.
Yeah.
Obviously, my focus is going to be more on summer beers because I'm going to push out that volume.
Definitely, yeah. Well, I mean, the whole Okanagan is really based off of tourism.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in the summer, it's probably double the population at least.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think as a community, that's what we're trying to get is more people here full time in the winter to help keep the city thriving in the winter.
Yeah.
And it you know, it does do well. It's not like we're a ghost town or anything, but yeah, we're still working through that you know, I think a lot of businesses suffer in the winter here.
Definitely. Well, it probably doesn't hurt that at least in the winter you've got the hockey just down the road.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
People want to have pregame or postgame. There's totally. A brewery to check out.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, just around the corner, like just down the street, there's, I don't even know how many blocks of houses and carriage houses. And so it doesn't feel like it's densely populated in this area, but it actually is. And I get a lot of regulars have been keeping me going through the winter.
That's awesome.
Like there's some people that are here probably two or three times every week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been really great.
And as I saw earlier, you do growler fills.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have any growlers in stock, but if you've got a growler, bring it. Bring a lid.
Yeah. Please bring a lid.
It's kind of hard to have a lid when you don't have growlers in stock.
Exactly. Well, and it's just on me to go home and order a bunch of growler lids. Which is funny because the growlers that I'm ordering aren't going to require lids, but it feels like it's a nice service to offer somebody if they don't have a lid. So, yeah.
I mean, you want to sell your beer.
I want to sell the beer. Yeah, I'd rather sell the beer and swallow that 25 cents.
For the people that don't get out to the Okanagan that often, what's the beer scene like here? I mean, this is wine country.
It is wine country,
which
is
luckily changing because I don't drink wine.
It's really changing. I mean, how many breweries we have now? There's Tree Brewing, there's Freddy's Brew Pub, there's the Tree Beer Institute, BNA, Boundary Brewing's been operational for, I think, just over a year now, which is great. And Kettle River's almost a year and a half or something like that, and myself. I don't want to out their names in case they want to say it themselves, but there's the brewery going in down the street.
Definitely.
So it is really growing really fast. And to be honest, since I've been open, I've probably had five people come here that are very serious about opening a brewery and sat down with them for about an hour or so where they said, hey, I'd love to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to open up a brewery. I was looking at this area in Kelowna, but now seeing what's going on down here, they want to open up a brewery in this area.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is great. I'm like, I hope you do, and I hope you can. The hard thing is there's actually not a lot of commercial real estate now. Like, this area is becoming kind of popular, and nobody wants to give up their space. So,
it kind of reminds me a little bit on a... It's more spread out, but it reminds me a little bit of Brewers Row in Port Moody.
Yeah.
Where it's just, you know, a small little hub, in a small little area with a bunch of breweries.
Yeah. Once we get that next one open next summer, hopefully they hit the summer. I think they should be able to. There'll be four breweries so close that you could throw a baseball from one to the furthest one.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's how close we're going to be. It's going to be really cool.
As long as you can throw a baseball.
Skip a stone, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I guess, where do you see the local industry in the Okanagan going in the next couple years?
Oh man, that's a hard one. I think, we're seeing a huge boom in Kelowna right now just from a population standpoint. People are really flooding out of Vancouver.
Yeah.
I was just having this conversation the other day with somebody that, you know, they're realizing they can sell their downtown condo in Vancouver and buy a house on the lake.
Yeah.
And have money left over. So a lot of people have been doing that. I think, you know, a realtor would have a better idea, but I'm pretty sure that that's kind of been the case. And now there's all these high rises going in downtown Kelowna. Right beside BNA, there's one going in, Ellis Park. Across the street from that, there's One Water Street. There's two towers going in.
Yeah.
One of them's 36 stories, which is the highest tower we've ever had here.
That's really tall, yeah.
Then there's another 29-story, there's another 30-story, and then there's three more downtown going up. Like, I mean, we're talking like seven skyscrapers are going in right now.
That's awesome.
And they're all kind of encompassing the breweries, which is great. So I think we're seeing a huge growth in population and in downtown population, so people that can walk to a brewery, because honestly, I think that's an impediment to a lot of people coming to the breweries, that they live so far away, they have to drive, they can only maybe have a beer, they have to organize a designated driver and a babysitter, and so all these things stop them.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think we're seeing a lot of the downtown population grow, and that's supporting everybody. So when these new high-rises are built over the next 5, 6, 7 years and they're all up and populated, I think it's just going to create a demand for more places to go have a beer. I used to go to B&A on a Friday night. Any Friday night, there's usually a lineup at the door because they're at capacity, and they hold 280 people.
Yeah, I believe.
And now they're expanding with their bowling alley upstairs as well.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, another 80 seats. But to be honest, in the next couple of years, I think they're still going to see lineups on weekends. My place gets packed on Fridays and Saturdays. So there's definitely going to be room for more people. And I think people are going to see that business opportunity and go, you know what, there's still a demand for places to drink and good beer. So
for sure.
Craft brewery, microbrewery feels like a perfect fit. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with Kraft moving in downtown. I'm sure you're aware of that, right?
In the Kraft beer market, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. And actually the guy, I think his name was Mike. Oh, I hope I got that right. he was in here the other day, really nice guy. And I wasn't sure, you know, if I wanted to sell beer to them. But honestly, after meeting him and hearing him talk about craft beer and his dedication to making sure, you know, tap lines are clean and beer is always fresh, I felt totally comfortable to say, absolutely, if you guys want to buy beer from me, I'd love to sell to you.
So that's awesome.
That's going to be really cool.
Just looking at the one in Vancouver, it's always busy.
Yeah.
You know, it's always bumping. There's almost never many seats empty.
Yeah.
So it'll be a good place to move some beer for sure.
Yeah. And seeing that size of company move into downtown Kelowna, I think that's a sign of where Kelowna's going because that takes a certain population to keep 100 beer on tap. So obviously those guys feel confident about their decision and feels like the timing's right.
Definitely, yeah. That craft beer market seems really exploding right now. They've got lots of places opening, it seems.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. They must have like 5 or 6 locations now, something like
that. I think so, yeah.
Edmonton, Calgary, Toronto, Vancouver. There might be another one in the Toronto area and then Kelowna now.
Do you have any exciting events or projects kind of in the works for the next year here?
The next year, one of them is finishing construction here. That'll be exciting. That's the other thing. Like, you know, obviously I still don't have my front sign because I've been making it myself. And people are always asking, like, you don't have a sign. I'm like, I know, it's coming. I'm still working on it. I'm having some issues with my CNC router right now. So.
Oh, brutal.
But in terms of events, not a whole lot. I'm still trying to get this whole thing into a good rhythm where I can find time to plan more things. But a friend of mine and I do plan on doing maybe a winter event or a spring event. We've been talking to some landlords around town. We're actually looking at the Baseball Diamond.
Nice.
And hosting an event there and having all the Redbird beer there and getting live music. So, yeah, looking at doing some stuff like that. I know we've talked to some of the other breweries in the area as well about doing, you know, more food truck events or a neighborhood block party.
That'd be awesome.
There's a business down the street, Cellar Tech. They've got a big space, and we're talking about, oh, maybe we do a ticketed 100-person event or 150-person event and just get some music, get all the breweries lined up, so there's one place you can go and you can try everybody's beer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And make it more of a community here.
Yeah, exactly. So we're definitely looking at doing things like that. I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but probably this spring and summer we'll see more of those.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I guess you don't have a sign yet, but you do have a nice big mural on the front, so it's hard to miss if you know what you're looking for.
Yeah, the mural's kind of my sign, actually. Yeah. And it's nice because being in this industrial area, as you can see out the windows, like, it's a lot of just big concrete buildings that are just kind of plain, so having the mural on the building really stands out. It brings a lot of people in. Actually, I've had a lot of customers come in just because of the mural. They're like, what is this place? I got to see what this mural is, or see what's inside this building. I'm really happy how that turned out because when I was working with my artist, he's my friend, he created the logo, he does all my artwork and everything. I sent him a picture of the building and I just, you know, painted it in Photoshop all white and I was like, okay, here's our canvas, what do we want to do?
Yeah.
And they were kind of sending me some designs and stuff and nothing was really great. And another friend of mine was like, man, you got this big white canvas and that's all you're doing, you got to do something great. So I challenged him, I said, hey man, like, let's pull out all the stops here, let's go big, let's make something really cool. He said, oh, I just didn't want to do something crazy because I didn't want to give you a lot of work. And I was like, no, man, I didn't do this to not do the work, so pile it on.
Yeah.
And that's how he came up with that design, which I was completely overwhelmed and in a good way with. You know, I was totally stoked. And, we took one day to prime the building all white, and then one day a couple friends and my dad and a scissor lift, and we got the whole thing painted in a day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we rented a projector, projected the image on there, taped it all out. So we did that at midnight because it had to be dark and we needed no traffic because we're kind of in the middle of the road with the projector. So we hooked up the projector, projected it on there, went over with green painter's tape, taped off all of the lines, and then the next day you just had to fill in the lines. It was quick and easy and it turned out really great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds way too easy.
It was one of the best things I ever did, actually, because it's brought in a lot of customers. And then that patio was expensive to build, but that was the other best thing that I ever did. Because in the summer, when it's full, it's just like a magnet for people. Like, they're just walking by and they're like, what is going on there? I got to go check this out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of Vancouver breweries that are really jealous of other places because they're not allowed to have a patio unless they're a brew pub. Period.
Yeah, that's really too bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get that logic. I'm sure it's some old law that's just been sitting there and nobody's challenged it, but you know, it's a lot of business being lost because of that. So
I guess, is there anything else you'd like to kind of talk about your brewery?
Oh,
so kind of wrap it up here.
Trying to think. Well, I guess, you know, the thing that I'm most proud of and that I'm happy with is just that whole community aspect. It's been really great seeing everybody come here, just being really open with each other. I haven't had any real incidents. There hasn't been any fights. There hasn't been any, you know, it's just been, you know, and I felt like I was preparing myself for that. It's like, okay, I own a bar now. Like, what's going to come with that territory?
Yeah.
But it's a different environment. I think part of it is the feel of this place. You know, when you walk in, it feels really chill. You know, I'm not playing aggressive music. Everything's usually like oldies or 70s music. And it just kind of has that community feel. So everybody comes in and just really relaxes. And I've been really surprised and happy with how that's turned out.
Sure.
Yeah, and just everybody. I've been amazed by how supportive the community's been. Other breweries, other businesses, and just the community in general has been just amazingly supportive. I wouldn't be able to do this without everybody's help, and everybody's willing to do their part to make these businesses successful.
For sure. I guess, where can people find you online?
Right now, my website is not in existence. There will be a website at redbirdbrewing.com eventually. It's kind of bottom of the list right now. So for now, it's mostly just through social media, so Facebook and Instagram. My Instagram handle is Redbird Beer, and I think Facebook, it's either Redbird Beer or Redbird Brewing, something like that.
Perfect.
But yeah, that's where I put everything, is just on those two social media platforms, and one day we'll have a website.
Awesome. What's the address here, too?
1086 Richter Street, Kelowna, BC.
Just because you don't have a sign, might as well throw the address out.
Yeah, for sure. And you can see my address is tape on the window for now as well. Bottom of the list.
GPS will get you here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Google knows where I live.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Find our show on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, YouTube, or your favorite podcast site or app at Pacific Beer Chat. Please leave us a review, as it helps spread the word about the show and helps new listeners find our episodes. You can find Pacific Beer Chat on social media at Pacific Beer Chat on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Send us an email at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com with any feedback or comments. We'd love to hear from you. You can also find us at pacificbeerchat.com. We are part of the Hopped Up Network, an international craft beer podcast network. If you enjoy this craft beer-focused show, or any other craft beer-focused shows, check out hoppedupnetwork.com. And thanks to Tim of craftbeertourist.com for designing our brand new logo. Thanks to Kevin Ems of Conundrum for allowing us to use the song Lothian in the intro to the podcast. You can find Conundrum on Instagram and Facebook at Music of Conundrum. You can also find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. To play us out, here is the full version of Lothian. Cheers. Drift.
all of my marches through the dark. I found out so much then, so much more than I can't know. I wanted you so badly by my side.